As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Acts 9:3. Paul wrote in a letter to Timothy, "I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief," in 1 Timothy 1:13b. Good morning and welcome to Through Their Message. May today be a day of blessings for you, and may you grasp firmly and hold on to the hope given you through our Lord Jesus Christ. Seek him, and you'll find him. Ask of him, and it shall be given you. Spend time with him, and he will reveal to you what he has done for you, this in freeing you from death and bondage. And then ask him. Ask him to show you how to live. In a letter to Timothy from Paul, Paul writes, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service, and even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy, because I acted in ignorance and in unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus." 1 Timothy 1:13-14. Paul, in sharing a snippet of his faith story with Timothy, is expressing the grace shown to him, the calling placed on him, and that the result of this blessing was the receiving of faith and love, forgiveness, and precious spiritual gifts from the Lord. And through those gifts to Paul, there comes to us a desire to acknowledge our thankfulness to the Lord and to be eternally grateful for the opportunity afforded us to be at peace with God. Let's hear some more of Paul's story. Paul was described as being a man zealous for the ways of God, the ways having been taught him in the synagogue, and he lived his life according to the strictest sect of the Jewish religion, as a Pharisee, as one who was the keeper of the law. And when he had heard of the things surrounding Jesus and this ragtag group of followers of his, like his counterparts, he would not accept or open his ears to hear nor his heart to take in who this Jesus was. And so he felt the need to take a stand against those who threatened all that he knew. So going to the high priest and asking for letters of confirmation on who he was, he set about to go to Damascus, a port city and an important trade route, to put a stop to this blasphemy. The fear was that if these followers of this Jesus were to embark on ships to other regions and take with them the beliefs that they carried, that this false religion would spread and could soon be the cause of rebellion. And so, with his letters of authority in hand, he and the men given him set off for Damascus to persecute, to round up, intimidate, bring to trial, convict, and kill the followers of Jesus. Acts 9:3-6. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." There is so much that has happened in this short time, and it is the awakening of his soul that has made its mark on Saul of Tarsus. We all, as Paul did, Saul's Roman name, we've all lived our lives once doing what we thought at the moment was the right thing to do. Yeah, what we thought. But why would Jesus ask such a question of Saul? "Saul, why do you persecute me?" It was not as though Saul was coming after Jesus himself, but he was pursuing his disciples, the followers of Jesus. Paul would be brought into the understanding that the world that he lived in no longer would look the same to him after meeting this Jesus. And now, through the eyes of Jesus, he would see the world as it truly was. You see, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he has to be a part of our lives, of who we are, and we need to submit to his leading. And for that to happen, we need to separate ourselves from our old nature, from our old ways of thinking and doing things, and we must commit to taking on the nature of Christ Jesus. It's a calling to a righteous life, a life of sacrifice, a life to be set apart from the world. And so then, things will not be done the same way. Neither will they look the same to you anymore. for it is in the power of the name. It is in the power of the Holy Spirit that change comes to us. And without either, the needed change cannot be recognized, nor will it be grasped onto. Because it is more than words that we speak when we speak Jesus' name. When we speak in Jesus' name, it is the guiding and the leading of the Holy Spirit that gives us the words and the power to speak in Jesus' name. When we speak in Jesus' name, it is not boasting of ourselves and of what we have done that we speak of, but of the things that Jesus has done for us. We boast of His works and of His hand, of His love. We speak of things that unless the Spirit is present in the words we speak, they cannot be understood. And so comes the fear and the threat or the challenge that comes with change. Jesus is the only way, and it is Jesus that the world fights and persecutes. We, as His ambassadors, we stand on the front line, prepared to defend and do battle with and for Him, and we are the physical that the world sees in these battles, even though the battle is being fought in the spiritual. Throughout the generations, there have been millions upon millions of conversion stories. They are stories shared of how the Lord called another, and of how He came into their life, of how upon His entering, that their lives were changed and there was no way that they were ever going to be the same again. It is our hearts that are stirred when it hears the voice of the Lord. Our mind can hear many sounds and take in many things, but if you will give attention to what you listen to, you will find out that when the heart hears the Master's voice, it is drawn to Him and seeks Him. And when He reveals Himself to the heart, there is rejoicing and a longing to spend time with Him. Your mind, under the influence of your sinful nature, on the other hand, will listen to the voice that speaks the loudest, that may choose the easiest path, that will seek to satisfy your own needs and will pursue glory and praise for itself. Think about it. When you sit down to pray, what happens? The phone rings. Someone calls your name. What you just read in the news comes rushing back to the front of the line, and you find yourself having a hard time concentrating. So what do? You tell yourself that you'll come back to it later, when things quiet down. Yeah, just a little bit. But that time never comes. And before you know it, bedtime has arrived, and so another day passes, and your sinful nature has won another victory. It has kept you from peace and rest and from fellowship with the Lord. You will find then that each day, and in time, the prayer doesn't cross your mind as it once did, or you will recognize that your intimacy with the Lord is waning, or that your life has just become too busy, that you cannot take the time to sit and be still before the Lord. Do the words then need correcting so that they do not say that you cannot, but that you will not? Paul, upon seeing the light, fell to his knees with his head to the ground. He didn't run. He couldn't, for the power of the name of Jesus stirred his heart at the sound of the Master's voice, and he met the Lord there on the road to Damascus, while on a journey to seek and destroy the lives of those who followed this voice of Jesus and who now before him would in fact be calling Paul himself to follow him. Paul would come to know the life-changing experience of meeting Jesus that day. Have you met him? How has he changed your life? Is that not something you want the world to know about? Not boasting in the changes in you, but of the one who brought those changes about. Paul would spend the next 3 days in darkness, where he would have revealed to him the Lord Jesus Christ. He does not only come when we ask of him, but he comes to us as our time comes to serve him. The question is, how will you personally answer his call? Will you say, "Who are you?" Or will you say, "Here I am, Lord"? Either way, from that day forward, your life will never be the same, for once hearing the voice of the Master, nothing will ever be the same. Praise be to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and may His mercy and grace fill every moment of every day, and may you never forget the sacrifice of those who have gone before you, and your life be filled with the boasting that comes through the work of Jesus, who is the Father's Christ, the Savior to this fallen and broken world, to you and to me. Amen.